Notre Dame, with a historic tradition of excellence, welcomes you to the Jack Swarbrick Show, where we pursue all things Notre Dame athletics.
The Jack Swarbrick Show is brought to you by
Team Notre Dame Partner Spirit, Coke Zero, Under Armour, Gatorade, and is also sponsored by Xfinity. Now, the host of the Jack Swarbrick Show, Jack Nolan, on your home for Notre Dame football, 89 WLS.
Welcome, Irish fans, to this week's edition of the Jack Swarbrick Show. With the Notre Dame women's basketball team beginning its quest for a sixth straight trip to the Final Four this weekend at Purcell Pavilion, it is appropriate our first guest today will be star forward Brianna Turner. And with the start of the spring outdoor track and field season just a week away, Notre Dame head men's track and field coach Alan Turner will join us with a preview and a review of the best ever finish for the Irish women's track and field team at the just completed 2016 NCAA Indoor Track and Field Championships. But first, to get things started, here is your host, University Vice President and Director of Athletics, Jack Swarbrick.
Welcome to this edition of the Jack Swarbrick Show. Finally, it is the Jack Swarbrick Show. Joe Schmidt is in New York City, last I talked to him. And the challenge this week is to find out whether I can, in fact, do a show without him. Joe is betting I can't. He may prove to be right here, but we're gonna give it a shot without him. We do have a great show. It's the All Turner Show. Being joined today by both Brianna Turner, extraordinary basketball player who leads our women's basketball team, and Alan Turner, who's coming off the most successful weekend in the history of Notre Dame track and field, and I'm really looking forward to being able to spend some time chatting with him about that experience and what it was like to be there in person, as I was anxiously watching on television and a streaming broadcast to watch that really remarkable women's team led by Molly Seidel. That's probably the right place to start the reflections on sports at Notre Dame this week, and that's with Molly, who's been a guest on this show, putting herself in a position as arguably the most decorated individual athlete in the long and proud history of Notre Dame athletics. In a 10-month period of time, she won the 10,000-meter outdoor national championships. That was in June. She followed that this fall with the cross-country national championships. And then this past weekend in Birmingham at the NCAA indoors, she won both the 5,000 and 3,000-meter races. And did so, I don't want to say with ease, because I can't imagine covering 5,000 meters, no less winning against an ultra-competitive field. But she just dominated those races, went out front at the beginning, and really pressed the pace, and no one could stay with her. One of the closest competitors was Anna Rohr of Notre Dame. And so, again, much as they did in cross country, they set the pace with Molly leading the way. So our congratulations to Molly and the entire women's track team, but we are so proud of her and all she's accomplished and excited for what's ahead of her. The outdoor nationals again this June. She'll be there with a target on her back as the defending national champion and look forward to that. And then, of course, one can only imagine when you've had this success at the collegiate level, that more and more success is in the offing for her as she continues to pursue running and hopefully someday be in a position to represent the United States. I know, as we've talked to her, it's a goal of hers to be an Olympian someday, and she is well on her way towards that goal. This time of year, of course, is dominated by All Matters basketball, and on consecutive weekends had the opportunity to be with our women in Greensboro for their conference tournament in which they once again are both the regular season and conference tournament champion in the ACC. A remarkable record for 3 years in the ACC here. A single loss in 3 years, that being on the road against Miami last year. And they continue to set the pace in what I think is the best women's basketball conference in the country. That effort and their regular season success earned them a number one seed in the NCAA tournament and the opportunity to host first and second round games here on campus. We'll start that coming up with North Carolina A&T at 6:30 on Saturday. And then the second round game on Monday at a time to be determined. We don't know what that is, but assuming a first round victory, which I am happy to predict, we'll face the winner of Indiana versus Georgia, which should be a great game and draw a lot of attention to our program as they can continue in the NCAA tournament. I hope we have great attendance at both. The way the women's basketball works, it's a real privilege to put yourself in a position to host these first and second round games. And so I encourage all Irish fans, including in particular those who have been so passionate about our women's program all year long, to come on out and root us on Saturday at Purcell and then again Monday when that game gets scheduled. The guys this year, a little different for the ACC tournament. We were in Washington, D.C. instead of Greensboro. I thought it was a great venue for the championships. The games were very well attended. The location of the Verizon Center in D.C. just lends itself to this sort of dynamic. The hotels are all nearby. You get sort of the festival feel that we always cultivated so much in Indianapolis, where the teams and the fans interact with each other and see each other a lot. It was a great venue. Started with a great game for us in the quarterfinals. Having qualified for a double bye, we went into the quarterfinals and defeated Duke in a really interesting game. It was a close game the entire first half with about 3.5 left to go in that half. We really dug ourselves a bit of a hole and then just staged a great rally led by contributions from virtually everybody on the floor, but a special nod to Zach August, who continues to play at a level that I think is as good as any big person in the country. And in many ways, Zach just willed us to that victory, as demonstrated perhaps most compellingly with those 22 rebounds he managed to collect in that game. The next game against North Carolina, we unfortunately repeated the dynamic that we did in the Duke game of, in what was a one-possession game with 4 minutes left in the first half, we really closed out the first half in less than stellar fashion. Got a little loose with the ball, turnovers, some missed shots, and all of a sudden we had dug ourselves a major hole. And one this time we couldn't overcome. North Carolina's a really good team. Love to meet them again down the road here if the tournament should cause that to happen. But we had just produced too big a hole and never quite felt like you were going to get back over the hump. A few times we got the deficit down and we had the ball where a bucket could have gotten us down to single digits, and we just couldn't get over that hump, and they were a little too much for us. So the bad news is we didn't get to repeat as ACC champions. The good news is get a little extra rest, which is not a bad thing as we head into the NCAA tournament this week. We are thrilled to be in the Barclays Center in Brooklyn. New York is a great place for us. A lot of passion for the Irish in New York City. That venue is also a great one. Easy subway access throughout New York. And so we're looking forward to it. As we do this show, we don't know whether it'll be Michigan or Tulsa. We'll find that out in a few hours. But either way, I know the team loves playing in New York from all those years playing in the Big East in the Garden, and is looking forward to the challenge. And if we can get past that one on Sunday, we'll play the winner of number three seed West Virginia versus Stephen F. Austin. Certainly the expectation is that it would be West Virginia there, but one never knows. But, you know, we have a comfort level with West Virginia, too, having faced them so often over the years when we were in the Big East. So a great place to be for both basketball programs, coming off years, a year of significant success, to be well-seeded, a number six seed for the men and a number one seed for the women as we head into the postseason tournament. Hopefully hockey will also be in the postseason tournament. That's yet to be decided. unfortunately, in the semifinals of Hockey East last weekend in the Compton Family Ice Center. We dropped two games to a very hot Northeastern team. They're probably playing the best hockey in the country right now. And I hope, while we would have liked to advance to Boston this weekend for the Hockey East Finals, I hope we can use it as a bit of a springboard, as Providence did last year, where you take advantage of that week off, get yourself set, get into the NCAA field, and go from there. So, you know, still a lot of hockey to be played here, and hopeful that whether we are sent to Cincinnati or Minneapolis or Worcester or I can't remember the fourth venue now, that we have a great weekend to get ourselves eventually to Tampa for that Final Four. Certainly we have a team with the ability to do that. One of the most exciting sports events over the weekend was a battle between number one and number two in men's lacrosse. Our men took on Denver. And because we took on Denver, it had to be an overtime game. It's apparently the only way we play Denver. We have had a remarkable series of overtime games. We had to stage one heck of a rally in the fourth period, and were able to do that, scoring with remarkable speed in a 43-second span in the fourth period, and got it into overtime. Unfortunately, we weren't able to close it out in overtime and get that first goal. One of Denver's great strengths, they're a great team, but one of their great strengths is their draw control, and they won the draw to start the overtime, and that's one of the unique aspects of lacrosse, that draw becomes so important in those circumstances, and they were able to score off it. Women's lacrosse, also enjoying a great year, ranked number five in inside lacrosse. They beat Princeton, another ranked opponent, 16-11, and then they've got two big ACC matches coming up against Virginia and then Syracuse. Softball, also ranked in the top 20, enjoying a great year, has been on a real tear. They're 21-3 now, and last week won three straight at Virginia in the ACC opener. And they are part of a really remarkable trend right now across our sports of teams ranked in the top 25. We have 10 of our current active programs, that is to say, not counting the winters, the fall sports that, of course, are done, currently ranked in the top 25. And that speaks to the depth and breadth of our program and the success we're having this year, thanks to some great coaches and some great student athletes. And we'll have an example of each when we come back in a minute.
Irish fans, make sure you download the official WatchND mobile app, available on iOS and Android devices. The WatchND mobile app is the best way to experience great Fighting Irish digital media, video, and audio content right on your tablet or smartphone. You'll get full access to our entire video on demand library, live game and event broadcasts, live shows and press conferences, live game stats, and more. And best of all, it's free. Search for WatchND in the iTunes Store or Android Play to download the WatchND mobile app today.
Have a great weekend. We're back Monday morning. We'll profile the latest group that is deeply offended by something Donald Trump said. John Howell, WLS, AM 890.
The second-ranked and top-seeded Notre Dame women's basketball team will begin its quest for a sixth straight trip to the Final Four Saturday night at 6:30 in Purcell Pavilion against 16-seeded North Carolina A&T. Leading the way for the three-time ACC champion Irish will be sophomore forward Brianna Turner, fresh off being named the ACC Player of the Year, while also being named, of course, a member of the All-ACC First Team, and also being named to the ACC All-Defensive Team. We are delighted that Brianna has been able to take some time out to visit with us today.
Welcome back to the show. Brianna, I'm thrilled to have you join us today in what I know is a busy week as we get to NCAA tournament time. How are you feeling about it heading into the second season here?
I'm probably really excited. I mean, we have such a great team this year, and we've had such a great season. We were able to go undefeated in the ACC and also win the ACC tournament. So we're just really feeling confident going into the tournament.
You haven't lost many games since you've been here. That's a good position to be in. What about the program helps deliver that remarkable consistency from year to year?
I'd definitely say Coach McGraw. I mean, she's one of the best coaches in the country, and just her being here all this time, and she knows what to expect. She's obviously been there, done that, so she's just a really good teacher for us all.
We had to prevail without you early in the season for a few weeks because of your shoulder. How's it doing?
It's doing great. I mean, initially I was afraid because the same thing had happened last year, but I talked to the trainers and to the doctors, and I didn't feel any pain, so I was able to play. I haven't felt any pain since it happened, so it's been really good for me.
And off season, you'll probably have some work done on it. Is that the plan?
We're going to see it in the season. I'll check with the doctors again, but so far I'm good.
Good. Well, that's great. Thrilled to hear it. It certainly doesn't interfere with your ability to block shots. ACC Defensive Player of the Year, another 80-plus block season. Do you enjoy that part of the game?
Definitely. I really think our defense helps our offense a lot. So if I can block a shot and get it out to LA quick, we can get easy transition baskets, which is really great for our team.
What if there's one play you can make in a game, anything, right? You can hit the game-winning shot. You can block somebody else's attempt to win the game. You can make a great pass. What's the perfect moment in a game for you?
At the end, if I have no turnovers, that is definitely a perfect game for me.
When you don't have many of those, despite a pretty intricate internal passing dynamic with our high post and low post, does that take a lot to master?
I'd say it does. I mean, Kat and Hannah, they're definitely great pass from the high post. In practice, we go against practice guys, so it definitely helps. They're, of course, usually taller and stronger than our opponents. So when they can lob it over our practice guys, I think it makes it easier during the games.
Now, you get up and down the court as well as any center in the country, without question. Where does that sort of physical endurance and shape come from? Because you're on the court a lot of minutes.
I think it's our preseason. We get really strong and quick in the preseason, and definitely here in the summer for summer school. So just the early workouts just really prepare us for the season. So just two semesters, we have to really be in shape. So definitely.
Well, you guys certainly are in shape. Boy, I tell you, you show no fatigue. Talk a little bit about the ACC tournament in Greensboro and the experience there and what those games were like.
Well, definitely we came in wanting to win. We knew everyone was really going to be coming for us since we got first in ACC and we went undefeated. We had three tough games. We played Duke, Miami, and then we played in the championship against Syracuse. And, I mean, they're, of course, just three tough games, so we really have to come prepared every day.
Yeah, Syracuse really speeds you up. They're pressing end to end, and they're really trying to push the ball. Place is a real premium. What you were talking about before, taking care of the basketball, mm-hmm. and I thought the team did that exceptionally well. Did a great job of it.
Yeah, Syracuse is such a great team. They have such great 3-point shooters. So, and they also press. So we really have to extend our defense a lot. We couldn't sag off of them. So I really think our defense was a key to winning that game.
And now we head into the NCAAs, host the first two here, of course, a well-earned a privilege we've had. What's the scouting report on our first opponent?
They're a really great team. They won their conference tournament, so they're really going to be ready to come for us. They're really athletic, so we have to establish our defensive presence early.
And then, a great matchup against either IU or Georgia, right? Two big conference teams that would love nothing more than to take us on here.
I don't know. We have to get through our first game before we look ahead, but certainly any game we play in a tournament is going to be a tough game for us.
Yeah, no, and you never know in this season, but love the fact that we get to host the first round, and as we progress, I know we don't take anything for granted, but it's nice that the geography isn't so bad. We don't have to go so far away, and our fans can come see us just as they did in Greensboro. We get great fan support along the road, don't we?
Yeah, we have such great fans. That's why I just love playing at home, and I'm so happy that our first round is going to be at home. I think we have some of the best fans in the country. We have people painting their faces, people bringing their kids. It's just a really fun environment for us.
Yeah, and the parent presence is great too, right? There's the Notre Dame family really extends beyond the players to all the siblings and parents and others that are in the stands.
Yes, you see a wide variety of people in the stands, and they're just so energetic. They don't ever calm down, which is really exciting for us because we make a great play and the fans get excited. That even gets us more pumped up.
Yeah. A lot of contributors to the team this year that have helped make that success possible. Of course, first and foremost you. But let's talk about some of the members of the rest of the team. And let's start with the impact the freshmen have had this year.
Arike and Marina, they're so great. I mean, they're so aggressive on offense, which I really think helps us a lot. Because sometimes we just need a quick score, and Arike, she'll just drive it down the lane. She'll go to and one, or have Marina, she'll pull up for a three, and we'll always know it's going to go in. And they just really bring a lot of energy off the bench for us, which really helps us a lot.
Yeah, they certainly do. And, of course, we didn't get to see Allie this year because she hurt her knee preseason. But she'll be another member of that class that's likely going to contribute in the future.
Oh, for sure, Allie. She's so smart. I can just tell she's going to be a smart player when she comes into the guard next year. And I think she just really understands the game well, which is really going to help her out a lot.
Yeah, to talk about smart players, we are really benefiting that we have a quarterback who runs our offense and, you know, is an extension of Muffet on the floor and knows the game so well, and that's Lindsay.
Yes.
You enjoy playing with Lindsay?
I love playing with Lindsay. I mean, anytime I'm lost, I look at Lindsay like, I know I'm the five, but you need to tell me where to be at. And so she really just really facilitates for our team. And whenever she's not in the game, we're kind of like, Coach, like, can you put Lindsay back in for us? But it's just so much fun playing with her. She's such a great player and person on and off the court.
Yeah, and I love the recognition, the deserved recognition that came Madison Cable's way at the tournament this year, mm-hmm. at the ACC tournament, being named player of the tournament. I mean, she's had a great year, hasn't she?
Yes, Madison. She does everything for us, whether it's on offense or defense. She's willing to sacrifice her body for a charge. She'll run down and get a block. And whenever we need three, we always look to Maddie to hit the three. So she's just really a great player for us as well.
Yeah, and then you and Kat have to develop a certain chemistry, right? To sort of know where each other should be and how that system works for the two, for the high post and the low post.
Yeah, I agree. I think practice is where we get better, me and Kat, because we're just always practicing our high-low passes. And, of course, we know, like, teams are going to try to take that away from us, but we always try to, like, pass fake and get it into each other, and we really work together.
Well, it works brilliantly, that's for sure. You know, teams know it's coming, but you guys still figure out ways. I love the start we got against Syracuse, where you were drawing a lot of attention and Kat was able to hit, what was it, the first 6 or 8 points of the game.
Yeah, she was really on fire. Their post, it kind of doubled down on me, which is pretty much gave Kat a wide open, like, 6-7 foot shot, and she was easily able to knock them down.
Is that frustrating for you that you get doubled as much as you do? You draw so much attention on the court.
I mean, no, I feel like it's good because if two people are on me, that means someone's open, and I just know they're going to knock down the shot. So I think it helps us out a lot.
Yeah, well, it's a great team approach, and it certainly has benefited us because, as I say, you draw so much attention out there. Let's leave the court for a minute and talk about the other aspects of life for you. What are you studying here, and where are you living?
I live in Ryan Hall, right by the bookstore. It's very exciting, very nice place to live. And I haven't declared a major yet, but I'm really leaning towards design, so like BCD.
Right. Mm-hmm. Ryan Hall, that's really upscale. You're living large there, living in Ryan, right?
Yes, I would say I am living large. It's very nice. Air conditioning, yeah. nice beds, high ceilings, very nice.
Yeah, well, that's it's a great area of campus and one of the great dorms. Where does the interest in design come from? Just from some classes you've taken or?
Yes. Really just like web design and just things like that. I really like working with computers, so hopefully I can get a future job in that area.
Oh, that'd be great. Tell us a little about your family.
I'm an only child from Houston, Texas. I have a dog named Rusty. He's very energetic. He's on the older side. He turns 12 in September.
Oh, he is.
So, but he's still super energetic. Both my parents are back home. They come to a lot of my games. They're really supportive, so it's really great.
Yeah, it's great that they've been able to get to as many as they do. So from Texas, why Notre Dame?
Well, I visited here around the spring semester of my junior year. I didn't really know too much about the school, but as soon as I visited, I fell in love with Coach McGraw and the school and just the program in general. I think, like, on the flight home, I was like, Mom, I'm coming to Notre Dame. I don't need to make any more visits anywhere. Like, this is where I need to go to school at. So it was just really an immediate decision for me.
That's great. You know, it's it always seems to me that you know it when you find it, right? I mean, on that visit, and I see that a lot with prospective student athletes when it's during your visit. Some of them I have a definite sense are going to wind up here, and some, you know, for whatever reason, it may not click. They may be looking for something else. But this place tends to get a lot of people who have that feeling, and it creates a real passion for the place. And you see that among your teammates, right?
Mm-hmm.
They all have a similar feeling for Notre Dame.
Yes, we all love the school. We love all the sports. We love going to the football games, soccer games, men's and women's. I think just the dynamics of Notre Dame sports and just the school aspects, too, it just has a great combination.
Yeah, you guys have a very special seat location at the football games.
Yes, we were right by the tunnel in the first row, really. So I think some of the best seats in the whole entire stadium.
They are. You guys, that's women's basketball. I always know where I'm going to find the women's basketball team. They are right there guarding the tunnel and catching the errant field goal kick. So you're all set there. Well, I really appreciate you coming on and spending some time with us. I wish you the best of luck during what I hope is a several-week run back to the Final Four. But I appreciate that it's one game at a time, and good luck this weekend.
Thank you so much.
I loved having you on. We'll be back in a minute.
The Fighting Irish play here. WLS.
EM 890.
Led by an incredible performance by Molly Seidel, the Notre Dame women's team finished in fifth place in last weekend's NCAA Indoor Track and Field Championships, the highest finish in Notre Dame women's track and field history. Next Friday, March 25th, Notre Dame's spring outdoor track and field season will begin at the Yellow Jacket Invitational at Georgia Tech University in Atlanta. So there is a lot to talk about with our next guest, Notre Dame head track and field coach, Alan Turner.
Coach Turner, thrilled to have you join us here, and because I can't imagine a much better weekend to be coming off of than the one you're coming off of, the Indoor Track and Field Championships. It was in Birmingham, is that right?
That's correct.
And the Irish had our best ever performance.
Our best ever meet. We came into the meet seventh ranked from the computer rankings, and the computer rankings just go straight down the line. If you're number one in your event, that's 10 points, and all the way to eighth, which is 1 point. And we were coming in seventh. I knew we could finish a lot higher than that. I was hoping for a fourth place finish because you get to get on the podium to come back with a trophy. We ended up fifth, right behind University of Texas. But we knew that we were going to be a top 10 team. And it just was, if we could put everything together, we could possibly get fourth. We ended up fifth, and we were just excited about that. And obviously, Molly led the way. She was basically the star of the meet. She was the only athlete in the country to win two individual titles at the championships. And that was, it was expected. What was not expected was how easy she made it look. If no one was really pressing the pace and with her within a mile to go, we knew she would have it. So we knew we can get 20 points out of her with those two first place victories. The other young ladies, they all stepped it up big time for us. We were confident if they did what we asked them to do and trusted their training, they were going to run well. But we had a few first timers in there, and they showed up and they ran very well.
Yeah, well, let's start with Molly's races, of course, because she's either is or is soon going to be the most decorated individual sport athlete in Notre Dame history.
Yeah,
because as our listeners and viewers know, 10,000 meter outdoor last year, right?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Cross country championship, and now the five and the three in the indoors. And you said, you said something which I think is so significant. When you come into a race like that expected to be the winner,
mm-hmm.
it creates a whole different level of pressure,
a whole different
– the field is focused on you. Mm-hmm. You've got to pay attention to what you're doing. You're running two races, not one.
Yeah.
How do you prepare an athlete for that?
Well, she's been prepared for that. She's been through the post-race press conferences. In Birmingham, she had several press conferences. She had one with ESPN. So the day before, it was a very busy day for her, and we planned for that as well. And she's just getting used to it. And she is really, really confident in her training. She knows that no one in the country is at her fitness level. She just maintains her composure and does what she's supposed to do. She's going to come out ahead.
You know, watching both races, the thing that struck me was the unbelievably consistent approach to those laps, right? I mean, it was like you could set your watch by her, right? I mean, she knew what she was going to target in those laps, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
correct.
She's just hitting it on the head.
Well, if Molly has an Achilles heel, is that she doesn't have a lot of foot speed. But I mean by that, if it comes down to the last lap, we have to kick it in, she knows she's going to get beat. So she has to run an honest pace from the gun to the finish line. And she's accustomed to running out front and running alone. So we knew if no one was close to her within a mile, half a mile of the race, that she had it. And she definitely did that.
Now, how do you manage that double, right? Mm-hmm. How do you both as you go into the meet sort of tapering for it, but knowing you got two tough races right back to back?
Yeah, well, in training, she runs a lot longer and a lot harder in training. So for her, it's just about after that first race, getting the massages, getting the ice bag, making sure she's refueling properly and getting a rest. And she's going through this almost daily. So it's just that the spotlight is on her when it comes race day. So,
well, let's talk about the other contributors to that great team finish for our women. Let's go through each of them and talk about their meet.
Okay. Well, we'll start with the two seniors, Kayla Barber and Margaret Bambouger. Kayla's actually a fifth-year senior, and she's probably the most talented athlete I've ever coached, male or female.
Wow.
But for some odd reason, she's never been a first-team All-American. She would go in the NCAA championships banged up or hurt, and it never really worked out for her at the NCAA meet. Now, her freshman year, she was a bronze medalist at the World Junior Championships in the 400-meter hurdles. And she's also a good long jumper. She's now our school record holder in the 60 hurdles. So for her, it was about, I just need to stay healthy. And she actually last year broke her foot when she set a personal best in 400 hurdles at the NCAA Regional Championships, went into the outdoor championships, basically running on one leg, or one foot, I should say. And she didn't make it to the final. So she had surgery on her foot. She had a small bone removed in her foot. So that hampered her summer training and her fall training. And what you saw at the indoor championships, where she played sixth in the 60 hurdles and broke actually her twin sister's school record, Jay Barber's record in the hurdles, we're just scraping the surface, so to speak, of what she's capable of. So I'm expecting some great things from her outdoors and 100 hurdles and her specialty to 400 hurdles. And she also runs a leg on our 4x4. So I was ecstatic for her breaking the school record, setting the personal best, and finally becoming a first-team All-American for us after five seasons for her. Now, Margaret Bambouger is one of our most decorated sprinters. Right. She's a five-time first-team All-American and four times in the 400 meters. She was actually a hurdler coming out of high school. Unfortunately, the hurdles didn't work out for her here. She had a stuttering step problem in the 400 hurdles, which is a definite no-no. You don't want to stutter going to the hurdles, and I couldn't correct that with her. So we just got rid of the hurdles and just did the open 400, and she's just blossomed there. So her issue is she doesn't get out hard the first half of the race, the first 200 meters. Now, indoors, it's two lap outdoors. It's just one. And she's usually behind, which means she has to go around competitors. And she had to go around a girl from USC, and she ended up sixth. And she was just 200s off of her personal best. So, you know, again, my athletes came to the meet. They all ran very well. And like I said, she's only 200s off her personal best. The other contributors, and I don't want to leave out Anna Rohr, the local product from Mishawaka High School. She's kind of been in the shadow of Molly. If Molly weren't here, this interview would be about Anna. Most of the season would be about Anna. She'd be an ACC champ multiple times. She's already All-American in cross country. She was fourth in the 5,000 this past weekend. She's one, if we can keep her healthy, I think she can duplicate what Molly has done. And what a lot of people may not know about Anna, she's still not able to train 100%. She had surgery on both feet while she was in high school. So we've limited the amount of training she's had. She does a lot of cross training, She's on an anti-gravity treadmill. She's on an underwater treadmill. She does a lot of stuff on elliptical. So, well, Molly is running about 100 miles a week. Anna is only doing about 50 to 60 miles a week. So once we're able to get the mileage up on Anna, I think she's really, really going to explode. And as a freshman, getting fourth place in the 5,000, that was just outstanding.
Yeah, no, yeah. She had a great race. Mm-hmm. I assume, you know, you've got the program in pretty rarefied air here. Mm-hmm. I assume that has an impact on the student athletes you can pursue now out in recruiting, or the interest you get in the program.
It really does help. Ever since we're now in the top 10, when I call somebody, hey, we're a top 10 program. You know, when I first took the job, and I remember talking with you and talking about team objectives, we talked about being a top 10 team. Well, we've accomplished that in cross country eighth, and our indoor track we're fifth. So we want to improve on that at the outdoor championship. The Coaches Association does a ranking of what they call programs, which is a combination of cross country, indoor, and outdoor track. Currently in the standings, we're 2/3 of the way through. We're the fourth ranked program in the country, which is a big feather in our cap. So when we're recruiting, we tell everybody, look, we're just as good as all the traditional powers, the Oregons, the Floridas, the Texas A&Ms, the LSUs. We have a complete program here. So you can not only do distance, you can do sprints, you can hurdle, you can throw. Whatever you want to do, we're going to do at the highest level here at Notre Dame.
Well, it's great that the program has gotten there so quickly. And, mm-hmm. you know, I remember our conversations well, and we thought the women – Yeah. program was positioned to do that first.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Do you see the guys being able to reach comparable levels eventually?
I've got a lot of work to do on the men's side. Unfortunately, we had a very good men's team. I was very competitive in the ACC our first year out, but a lot of them were seniors.
Yeah.
And we didn't replenish as well as I wanted to. So a lot of the younger guys have to learn how to win. And we're going through that rough patch right now, rebuilding with the men's team.
How do you manage the very long season you just referred to for the distance people, right? The full cross-country season, indoor, outdoor. How do you approach that?
Well, you have to pick your battles, so to speak, and put priority what's more important. We can run at the Joe Piani Invitational. We can go to Wisconsin Invitationals. But what I call championship time, we're going to hang banners on championships, not winning the – Notre Dame invited or Wisconsin invited in cross country or track and field. So with our distance runners, with the season being so long, we target certain meets. Now, for our elite athletes such as Molly and Anna, for example, they didn't run a full indoor season. They probably ran half the meets that our sprinters, jumpers, and throwers would do. Those athletes can go pretty hard every weekend and still peak them for championships. But with distance runners, you have to be careful that you don't get on that slippery slope where they do a little bit too much and get injured. So, for example, with Molly for the outdoors, we're going to have her run in about 3 weeks out at Stanford. That's one of those high-powered meets for distance runners. They're going to run in the late evening when the temperatures are perfect to run a 10,000 to 5,000 in the low 60s, high 50s. And then she's going to take a break. She may run a month later. There's a big meet at Virginia. And then we're just going to run her at the conference meet and then the regional and national and Olympic trials. So that's her outdoor season in a nutshell, and Anna's going to do the same as well.
Well, we're lucky you're not managing trust accounts anymore. We're thrilled to have you with us. Thanks for being here today, and good luck the rest of the season.
Okay, thank you, Jack.
We'll be back in a minute.
Irish fans, make sure you download the official WatchND mobile app available on iOS and Android devices. The WatchND mobile app is the best way to experience great Fighting Irish digital media, video, and audio content right on your tablet or smartphone. You'll get full access to our entire video on-demand library, live game and event broadcasts, live shows and press conferences, live game stats, and more. And best of all, it's free. Search for WatchND in the iTunes Store or Android Play to download the WatchND mobile app today.
Notre Dame football is on WLS
AM 890.
We have come to the end of another jam-packed and entertaining Jack Swarbrick show. Here now to wrap things up with a look at another busy week in Notre Dame sports is your host, Jack Swarbrick.
Well, welcome back. We'll have to set up some sort of polling system to get right in. Decide whether this show can be done without Joe Schmidt or not. I'm a little worried to see the results, but so if we make that available, just stuff the ballot box for me, will you? Big weekend, as we said. I want to thank my two guests for being on it and draw your attention to one other team we didn't talk about. Men's and women's fencing qualified the maximum number of fencers for the national championship, which is coming up. We go into those championships with great optimism that the tradition, the great tradition of Notre Dame fencing competing for national championships will be in a position to be realized again this year. So good luck to our fencers. Go Irish, and we'll see you next week.
This has been the Jack Swarbrick Show, brought to you by Team Notre Dame partners Sprint, Coke Zero, Under Armour, Gatorade, and is also sponsored by Xfinity. Listen this time every week for everything Notre Dame athletic. The Jack Swarbrick Show on your home for Notre Dame football, 89 WLS.